are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
The resurrection isn't just an empty tomb. It's a game changer, more than a miraculous event. It's the cornerstone of Christian faith. But what does the resurrection truly mean for us today? And why is it the key to understanding the bigger picture of Christianity, right? We are joined on the line by Elder Nyaneti Rogers, who's going to be helping us with this one. Elder, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, madam. I'm fine. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for coming through to speak to us.
Thank you so much. We thank God for everything.
Indeed. Before we start, I'm going to ask Mdala that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Shall we pray? Wonderful and gracious Lord who art in heaven, we thank you for your care and protection. I thank you, Lord, because of the providences you've bestowed upon us, and especially for this day. Thank you for what you've prepared for us, especially in this hour, Lord. As we delve into your word, we pray that you quicken our understanding and illuminate our minds, that we hear you speaking to us at individual levels. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. We're speaking about all things, you know, beyond the tomb, Mdala. We have multiple religions. Others believe in the other prophet. Others believe in their ancestors. Others believe, you know, in cows, in quite a number of issues. And then we believe in Christ. So how does now the resurrection distinguish Christianity from all these other religions that I have mentioned in the world?
Thank you for that question. It is so paramount. You understand, when you speak of Christians, Seventh-day Adventist fraternity is inclusive. Mm-hmm. And we also have a belief. We have a belief system. We have these fundamental beliefs. One of our fundamental beliefs is death and resurrection. Mm-hmm. So resurrection has a central space when it comes to Christianity. When mm-hmm. you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, the Bible says, if Christ had not been raised, mm-hmm. your faith is worthless.
Okay.
You see, by that statement, this is Paul, who is speaking of Christ, and he's saying, if I can paraphrase him, that if Christ had not resurrected, then Paul could not be numbered with the Christians. Mm-hmm. He could not take that faith of Christianity. So resurrection matters. Maybe we can say three things here. This resurrection matters because the resurrection we are speaking of here proved mm-hmm. that Christ, Jesus Christ, that is, was divine.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ was divine. Because we are trying to relate him now with these religions. What makes Christianity unique in relation to these other Christians? Mm. The book of Romans chapter 1, verse 4, confirms this. It says, by being raised from the dead, he proved to be divine. By being raised from the dead, he proved to be divine. So for us to have that clarion call to follow before to follow Christ, who is leading ahead of us, resurrection was an ignition. Mm. Like without it, then Christ, without it, then Christ could not have any follower, because he could be also be numbered together with us, who could be living to the expiry of the tomb, like every life could culminate at the tomb. So his death, which is mentioned in the Bible, hmm. could not prove to the entire congregation, to the entire world, that he was divine. Hmm. His being hung on the cross could not prove in its entirety that he was divine. But when it comes now to resurrection, resurrection was a total proof that hmm. Christ was divine. Number two, the resurrection we are talking of here proved Christ is power to forgive sin. You see, we have what we call the problems of sin, and also we have the sin problem. The parent of this is the sin problem, and this is what Christ came to to undo. Because when you read the book of John chapter 1 verse 29, it says, when John the Baptist saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin parent, the sin which is the source of all sins, who takes away the sin of the world." So the resurrection proved that Christ's power to forgive sin was in play. I've already read from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
I can also repeat, it says, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins.
Mm.
So this resurrection proved Christ's power to forgive sin. And number three, resurrection revealed Christ's power over death. It revealed Christ's power over death. Because when you read the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "I am the one who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." So when it says, and I have keys of hate and of death. So Christ revealed his power over death through resurrection. You mentioned some religions there. You know, there are those even who believe that once people die, they'll come back in the next life. Maybe if you are a person, you will come back as an housefly. You will come back maybe as a cow. You will come back in some different faces.
Mm.
So these people don't believe in resurrection.
Okay.
Like if you talk of the Hindu, there is that the founder of Hindu, Dharma. We have the Buddhism. We have what Buddhi. Talk of Islam, we have Muhammad. Talk of Sikh, we have Guru Nanak. Talk of Scientology, we have these people are distinguished from Christ because all of them died, including Christ. They died. We know their tombs, but Christ's tomb is the only one which is empty as we speak, because the tombs to these other people still contain the honors, and even their skeletons are there. But Christ is the only one who is not referred to, the late Christ, because he is not in the tomb, he resurrected.
Yeah. So how does now the belief, Dala, in the resurrection shape the way in which we view life, death, and eternity?
You know, eternity we are speaking of here is eternity is not something you buy. It's not something you go to the supermarket maybe and you purchase, you procure it. Maybe you go through some process and purchase it. Eternity is shaped now. Eternity is shaped now. Eternity is earned now. So through all of us, when we say that we are saved by grace through faith, so we are saved by grace through faith, our works must be in tandem with our faith for us to gain this eternity now. So we are working for eternity, which is coming. We are working for it. We are anticipating it. And for us to have that reality of eternity, we must live it now. Like we must live now as if we have started living in eternity. Because there are those people maybe who are thinking post-tomb, who are thinking of resurrection, like they will start amending their ways after resurrection. No, that is not the case. When we speak of resurrection, the Bible confirms that resurrection is going to happen to us. We shall be given, we shall be dressed in immortality, meaning this is something we will qualify for. So if Christ died and he was resurrected, for us to be members of that resurrection, for us to be partakers of resurrection with him, we need to live a life now worthy eternity, a life which will qualify us, like we be pre-qualified. Of course, when we talk of salvation, we were justified, we are being sanctified, we shall be glorified. So we've been pre-qualified for eternity. But there is somewhere the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So we have something to do. There is a program we had, and we are discussing about faith and works.
Okay.
So faith without work is dead. Meaning, even if we've been saved through by grace through faith, we need to work out and show out this fruit of the Holy Spirit for us to shape our eternity now. And this is informed by resurrection.
Mm-hmm. So how in what ways, Mpundisi, is it there's the resurrection, you know, offer hope for believers today and beyond the promise of eternal life?
If there is something that devastates in this life, is death. When you talk of death, you see, when you read the spirit of prophecy says Adam and Eve, when they started seeing leaves falling, they started crying. You see, it was something they were not used to. You can imagine leaves falling and none has died, just leaves falling. By then, it was something which was so frustrating, so bad to them. But now, talk of death itself. When your loved one dies, when maybe some animals die, which are under you, talk of the loved ones, talk of the loved one that has died, talk of ourselves past the grave, talk of that. If we are not living now as the ambassadors of eternity, then our lives are wasted. That is now of the hope we are speaking of. Like, if we don't have hope beyond the grave, which is informed by resurrection, then we are hopeless. So we are given this hope of the resurrection because Christ was resurrected. Maybe if I can take you back, there is this case of the disciples who were cowards. The disciples, when Christ died, the disciples went back to their fishing business. But when Christ was resurrected and they appeared to them for those 40 days, these people were empowered. They were given hope, and they started preaching like nobody. You see, when they could be tortured, nothing deterred them from preaching. When they could be cut off, their heads were cut off, some were hung, some were dipped into oil. But because of the hope which was rekindled by Christ's resurrection, these people were unstoppable. They were unstoppable. The Bible says they turned the world upside down. That's very hopeful.
Indeed. So looking at Mpundisi, that now, my elder, that now we understand, you know, the issues of resurrection, what it means. How would Christians now be different if the resurrection had never happened? Would we even have Christianity if the resurrection didn't happen?
If resurrection didn't happen, still we will go back to the first we began with, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. Which says, if Christ had not been raised, if Christ had not been resurrected, your faith is worthless. That's Paul speaking. You still could be in your sins. Meaning, Christians without resurrection are as hopeless as anything else, are as futile as anything else, and their faith is in vain.
Indeed. So Mpundisi, if my elder, as we wrap up, you know, if anyone didn't understand or missed anything, or they have just joined us, what is that one thing you would want them to know when it comes to understanding resurrection beyond the empty tomb? If there's one lesson you want us to take today, what would that be?
I could say, just repeating what Christ said in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 18, like it is when we realize, when we talk of the finality of death and how it cannot be undone. You know, death to the human mind is something final. The finality of death and how we cannot undo it, that we stand in hell of one who said, I am he who lives and who I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have keys of hate and of death. That way we can stand, as Job said, and say, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I shall stand and see him with my naked eyes. That is post-resurrection.
Indeed, I know my Redeemer liveth. Dala, please offer you a word of prayer as we close.
Wonderful and gracious Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the time you've given us to share. If there is anybody somewhere hopeless at listening to this word, Lord, we pray that you meet this person, that hopeless state, and give him hope beyond the grave especially, and bring that finality of death to its final and full stop. And then from there, Lord, begin that faith post-resurrection, that because Christ was resurrected, we can also be resurrected. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Elder. Till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you so much. May God bless you.
Bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.